It's Tuesday, October 10, 2023. And this is Uranium Spotlight, your weekly podcast dedicated to delivering the latest news and events shaping the uranium fuel market and its critical role in the global energy landscape. Brought to you by PurePoint Uranium Group, trading on the TSX Venture and the OTCQB. PurePoint actively operates a portfolio of advanced uranium projects in the world's richest uranium district and has established partnerships with some of the largest uranium suppliers worldwide. While our passion for this subject is undeniable, it's essential to clarify that the information presented here is not investment advice. Instead, our goal is to offer an unbiased and comprehensive review of recent events that could impact uranium prices. And now your host, Chris Frostad.
This week on Uranium Spotlight, we take a close look at Europe's efforts to keep the lights on through nuclear power, as well as Britain's SMR competition. We also look at F3's recent financing successes, but first, last week's uranium prices. After a spectacular month, uranium prices calmed down last week, closing out at $71 per pound US U3O8. Although down by $2.50, the price is still holding tough above the $70 mark. At the start of last week, spot prices slipped by 75 cents due to weakened buying interest, with some market participants shifting to sell positions to capitalize on recent gains. Offers also decreased, causing the spot to fall to $71 per pound. Throughout the week, bids continued to weaken, leading to further drops in the price to $70 per pound. Thursday saw minimal activity as participants re-evaluated their positions. However, offers near the sub-$70 level prompted new bid interest, leading to four spot transactions on Friday. In total, eight spot transactions totaling 1.1 million pounds U3O8 occurred during the week. Financial buyers were predominant as the spot price decreased. The long-term uranium market remained moderately active last week, with multiple utilities out with requests, some off-market activity being booked, and recent new demand. It appears that multiple utilities are demonstrating term uranium interest, whether through off-market discussions, selective tenders, or preparing for market entry seeking mid- and longer-term delivery. Europe is currently balancing a number of serious energy challenges: a need to expand energy supply to meet the needs of its population and fight the good fight against climate change, while also weaning itself off of Russian natural gas, lest they end up supporting its expansionist war in Ukraine. In large part, they have succeeded in the second goal, and without any of the forecasted blackouts. But how do you lessen your reliance on natural gas while worrying about the environment? And how do you keep energy prices low? And how do you do that while 15 to 25% of Europe's electricity comes from aging nuclear plants, which according to some will soon need to be retired? The normal lifespan of a nuclear plant is 30 years. 95 of the 109 nuclear plants in Europe are 30 years or older. 32 are older than 40 years. Luckily, some experts agree that these plants can have their lifespans extended with the replacement of parts, regular inspections, legislative action, and approval from the appropriate nuclear safety watchdogs. Not all the interested parties can agree on this, however. Germany recently shut off its last three nuclear power plants, despite the fact that 67% of its population, when polled, said that the reactors should possibly be kept on. Spain is also planning to shut down its seven reactors by 2026. However, with the right-wing People's Party winning the most seats in the last election, this has been cast into some doubt given their platform, partially consisting of extending the lifespan of the reactors. Belgium, France, the United Kingdom have all agreed recently to reactor extensions. Belgium on its newest reactors, the United Kingdom on two 40-year-old reactors now expected to run through to 2026, and France on its reactor in Tricastin just last month. France is making a program of it and checking out 32 of its oldest reactors to see which of them can be extended. Seven other countries throughout Europe have also decided to allow reactors to run for up to 60 years. Officials at French nuclear operator EDF are confident that its reactors can run for 60 years, despite the French regulatory authorities' reluctance to comment. Last week, Philippe Gérard, CEO of French gas supplier EPANGO, said that France should be rapidly expanding its nuclear output, and not just by building new reactors or even keeping old ones running, but also by increasing the output of current reactors. Gérard said that by improving the load factor of its existing reactors, France could achieve this right away and at much lower cost. By load factor, he is referring to the ratio between the fuel that operators put into the reactor and the power that gets produced. In France, for instance, that load factor has fallen from 78% in 2005 to 52% in 2022. By comparison, the average load factor of reactors in the United States is 91%. So what can be done to increase this critical statistic and keep those old reactors running longer? Well, first, downtime on French reactors is much longer than elsewhere and needs to be addressed, both for refueling and maintenance. France has also recently been dealing with a corrosion problem in the cooling elements of some of their units. Other maintenance continues to pile up. As recently as last Friday, France had to shut down its Pelleil 4 unit after the turbine was taken offline. The real missing factor in France, however, is EDF's poor relationship with the French Nuclear Safety Authority. In the United States, this dialogue between operators and the American Nuclear Regulatory Commission is what has allowed them to get that critical load factor of 91%. If France were able to achieve a load factor of 91% right now, it would give them the equivalent of another 13 reactors of power generation without them having to build a single thing. Extending reactor lifespans across Europe results in less volatility in the price of uranium. However, the demand for new reactors needed to fight climate change will only push uranium fuel prices up. Reactor generation capacity is expected to expand 14% globally by 2030 and 76% by 2040. Similarly, uranium demand is expected to double over that same time period. The fight against climate change is going to rely on an expansion of the uranium supply chain to fuel our nuclear fleets, both old and new. The British government's competition to see who will build their new fleet of small modular reactors has been heating up. Small modular reactors, or SMRs, are a new reactor technology designed to allow reactors to be built more swiftly, at less cost, and using less land than conventional reactors. Some SMRs may also be able to be mass-produced in factories and then shipped to wherever they're needed. The six companies currently shortlisted are Holtec Britain Limited, GE Hitachi Nuclear International, NuScale Power, EDF, and Westinghouse Electric Company UK Limited. The government aims to make a decision on which company to support by spring of 2024 and have contracts ready to go by that summer. F3 Uranium Corp. has been busy securing substantial funds to advance its Patterson Lake North project through a series of strategic moves. Last month, F3 Uranium Corp. announced a bought deal private placement with underwriters that included Red Cloud Securities, Inc., Haywood Securities, Inc., SCP Resource Finance LP, and 8 Capital. They agreed to purchase 30.9 million flow-through units at 48.5 cents per unit, generating $15 million. Each unit comprised of one flow-through share and a half a common share purchase warrant, exercisable at 48.5 cents within 24 months. As uranium prices rose over the past few weeks, however, so did the financing, closing finally last week and yielding $20 million from the sale of 41.2 million units. The company paid underwriters a cash commission of 5.5% and issued warrants. Then on Friday, the company announced a binding agreement with Denison Mines Corp. for a $15 million investment through convertible debentures at a 30% premium to F3's current share price. The debentures carry a 9% coupon and are convertible at a conversion price of 56 cents per share. This strategic investment further focused on supporting the development of the Patterson Lake North project. And that wraps up your Uranium Spotlight coverage for this week. For more news and events from the world of uranium, please tune in next week to Uranium Spotlight.
You've been listening to Uranium Spotlight, your weekly podcast dedicated to delivering the latest news and events shaping the uranium fuel market and its critical role in the global energy landscape. Brought to you by PurePoint Uranium Group, advancing its position as the premier uranium explorer in the world's richest uranium district. Join us again next week for Uranium Spotlight.